It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas.
Alright, sue me. I took a week off. I was very busy with work and lacrosse and all that, and I took a week off. I gave you guys a Wisdom Teeth episode, I'm sorry. But we're back today on a Thursday. I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked that I haven't been hacked yet. You know, past 2 days, we've been dealing with some technical difficulties at the Nina High School, and you know, some organization from God knows where hacked us, and now we don't even know where our Google accounts are. Kind of a Nina thing, if you ask me. But I got 2 days off of school, and now we're back into the swing of things, not doing absolutely nothing at school. But now it's time to get into the swing of things with the podcast. So today we're going to interview Brady Corso and obviously talk a lot of playoff football. And to start, I think I'm going to talk about top five people, not just players, people in general, going into the playoffs with the most pressure. I think this list is very fair. I got five guys on the top of my mind. They are ranked 1 to 5. So let's get into the top five players with the most pressure. So number five here is actually a guy that I don't think that when you look at it in a vacuum shouldn't be under the most pressure because he's a rookie. But I think Mac Jones going to the playoffs is under the most pressure. And the reason why I say that is I think Mac Jones is one of the more scrutinized. I think Mac Jones is the most scrutinized rookie so far in the class. And that's because people think he's overrated. You know, people think he's just kind of a system guy. And nobody really thinks he's, you know, the guy for the page. People, like, he impressed us this year, but nobody thinks he's, like, got that quite the ceiling that a guy like Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, or Justin Fields has. And I think that's why he's under the most pressure, because going into the playoffs, this is like, all eyes are going to be on Mac Jones. Mac Jones going up against a great Bills defense in Buffalo, like, people don't need to expect him to win, but I think he needs to show everyone that he is like that type of player. He's not just a system guy and a game manager. I think people want to see something more from Mac Jones. And while I'm a huge fan of him, and I think that he's, you know, been the best rookie quarterback this year, which I don't think should even be an argument, he is in the best situation. And he is, you know, his job is a little easier than what Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson had to deal with. But hey, now you're in the playoffs. Now you're going up against your best competition. Now you're going up against a divisional rival in a wild card game. You got to show up. You got to show us that you can be the guy for this team. And if he plays bad, I mean, heck, I'm not going to give him that much scrutiny because he's a rookie in the playoffs and he was the only rookie QB in the playoffs. But, like, people are going to start looking at him and saying, if he doesn't show up and he shows that he's just a game manager, I think that's going to be the narrative with him going into next season. So I think how he performs on Saturday really is going to show people what type of player we're getting with Mac Jones in his career and what people will think that's the player he's going to be. Number four is Cliff Kingsbury. I think this is fairly obvious. The Cardinals had a tremendous, I believe, 7-0 start to the season, and since then have really fallen off. They've had some bad losses and, you know, had a nice win against the Cowboys and then, you know, lost to the Seahawks in week 18, and now people are wondering, like, are these guys, were they a little overrated going in when they were undefeated? Were they a little overrated? And is Cliff Kingsbury, while we thought was like a coach of the year candidate in the middle of the season, now, like, going back to what we all thought about him last year, he's a little overrated. People think he's over his skis. People think he's a little over his skis as an NFL head coach. I mean, he comes in after getting fired from Texas Tech and gets a head coaching job, and people are like, how qualified is this guy? And while his first, you know, a couple of years coaching in the NFL have been fine, I mean, he's in the playoffs right now. I got to give him that. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a top five, borderline top five quarterback. He's, you know, up until this point has had DeAndre Hopkins. He's had, good old lines, great offense weapons for a guy who, is big into the air raid type offense. And he's now this year has a great defense. Like, you got to show us that you can be that type of coach, or maybe, maybe this skid wasn't just an anomaly. Maybe this skid was just showing like what the Cardinals will actually be with you as their head coach. Like, you don't bring them to the next level. And I think this Cardinals offense should be a lot better than what they're playing right now, even without DeAndre Hopkins. Like, it's still, you still got a tons of weapons on the offensive side with Christian Kirk and Rondell Moore and Zach Ertz and two great running backs. Like, you got the talent, Cliff. You got to bring it to the next level, because that's what people thought you were going to be. That's what the Cardinals thought you were going to be when they hired you as a head coach. Like, yeah, your credentials aren't great, but you have, the offensive mind. You know how to bring this offense to like an exceptional offensive level. And so far, he hasn't exactly done that. First time in the playoffs, got to show it. Number three is Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's played fine. I think he's played very well going into this end of the season. He had a great game-winning drive against the Rams. I thought he played tremendous. When he's not turning the ball over, he really has some exceptional games. I don't think he's as gifted as a passer as Trey Lance can potentially be. And I think that's what people are looking for going into the playoffs. Like, let's not kid ourselves. The 49ers are a really great team. And the Cowboys, I feel bad. They got a tough draw playing the 49ers in Wild Card Weekend. Like, the 49ers have an exceptional roster. But this comes down to Jimmy G and how well he's going to be able to throw the football. Like, Jim, you never know what Jimmy G you're getting going into the game. Are you getting a Jimmy G that we saw against the Rams on Sunday, a guy that can really elevate a team and, bring him to a victory in those clutch spots, which is exactly what he did? Or you can get a Jimmy G that is throwing, has multiple turnovers and kind of just packs it in for the game and gets hurt potentially. And I think that's what people are looking for Jimmy G going into the playoffs. Like, can he be just not a game manager like what he was in the 49ers 49ers Super Bowl run a couple of years ago? Like, can he, distribute the ball to Deebo Samuel? Can he get the ball to Brandon Ayuk? Can he get the ball to George Kittle? Like, can he make this 49ers offense more than just a zone running scheme? And we all know the 49ers are going to run the ball. Like, they're going to run the ball plenty. And Jimmy G is probably going to only be expected to throw the ball 20 to 25 times. But he's got to execute on those plays. And if he executes, then maybe Jimmy G has a starting spot on the 49ers next season. Maybe Trey Lance has to wait another year. But I think if you see Jimmy G have one of those bad performances against the Cowboys, and you see him pack it in, and if Jimmy G has one of those bad performances, the Cowboys will win this game by multiple scores. And if he does that, Kyle Shanahan's looking to get rid of Jimmy G right away, and he's going to start Trey Lance next year. But Jimmy G can, put on a show that he's still the 49ers guy, and they can, make a potential, and they can beat the Cowboys, maybe make a potential championship run, NFC championship run. Then I think Kyle Shanahan's going to realize, like, why risk throwing Trey Lance into the fire next year when in all of his starts this year, he really hasn't shown that he's like ready to play. And why don't you go with the guy who's ready and, can win you football games? And that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Number two, I'd say Matt Stafford is under the most pressure, second most pressure, actually. The Rams gave up a lot for Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford has always been seen as a guy like he was playing for the Lions. Like, Matt Stafford's a much better quarterback than just, a guy that's only been in the playoffs twice in the past, outside of this year, twice of the past decade, twice, two times in the past decade. I think Matt Stafford can be seen as a guy that maybe brings the Rams to the next level, and gets in, because the Rams have a talented roster. Matt Stafford is a talented player, and I think what Sean McVay knew going into, signing Matt Stafford, that yeah, he's got his guy, and the Rams offense is can be more than what it was with Jared Goff. And I think in the past 6 weeks, it's been what the Rams offense has been, what I saw with Jared Goff the years before. Like, it's not doesn't look that much different. And people are calling Matt Stafford a fraud. People are saying like he maybe was so underrated in Detroit, he's actually become overrated. And I think when you look at what Sean McVay is dealing with right now, like, did I give up too much for a guy who maybe for a guy who maybe isn't even that much better than the situation I was in before with Jared Goff. I think Stafford's a lot more talented than Jared Goff, but maybe Jared Goff is just better in the Rams offense than Matt Stafford is. Maybe not better, but like around what he was with Jared Goff. Why don't you keep Jared Goff for, and keep your picks? But he gave up he gave up his picks for a guy who has a lot of talent and maybe just needed the roster to get up to that next level. And right now, we don't know if the Rams are going to be at that next level. And I think he's got to prove it this weekend, going into a game with going into a game with the Cardinals. So yeah, I think Matt Stafford is under an immense amount of pressure. This is a kind of a pro this is a sorry. This is a prove it playoff run for Matt Stafford. Like, is he, a borderline top five quarterback that can win a Super Bowl, or is he just the same guy in the Lions, extremely talented, but throws a lot of picks and can't win you big football games? And number one, by the way, I'm using my AirPods. I cannot find my adapter for my mic, and I probably sound way worse than I do with my mic, and I'm using my AirPods, just letting you know that. But number one, I hate to say it, but Aaron Rodgers is under the most pressure going into the playoffs. This seems like a very easy choice for me. Aaron Rodgers put the Packers through hell this offseason. He really did. He said in April that he was disgruntled and that he wasn't going to return to the team. Returns to the team, throws out all this, last dance stuff and saying that like he basically putting the Packers through all this hell. And when people are looking at him, and I'm not one of these people, but people are looking at him like, why are you so entitled? Why are you acting all entitled when, you're not, you deserve a share of the blame, not winning the Packers more football games in the past couple of years in the LaFleur era. Like, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers is 1-4 in NFC Championship games. Like, and I think if there's any time for him to win a Super Bowl and win his second Super Bowl and really cement his legacy as a top three quarterback in the NFL and in NFL history, he's got to win a Super Bowl this year. I mean, everything is lined up. He's got the roster. He's the one team that really was the only team that has given us problems. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are injured as fuck. And then when you look at all the other teams in the NFC, they all have their flaws. Like the Packers, if you look at the Packers right now with their fully healthy roster, there's absolutely no reason this team shouldn't make the Super Bowl. Absolutely not. And if they don't, let's be honest, you got to start looking at Aaron Rodgers and saying, dude, you deserve the blame. Like maybe like I know you're probably the best quarterback in the NFL, but like if they don't make the Super Bowl, Packers, Brian Gutekunst has to look at Aaron Rodgers and say, I don't want to hear any of this. I don't want to hear any of this bullshit from you. Like, you have not won a Super Bowl. And let's be honest, in all the five NFC Championship games that Aaron Rodgers has been in, I'd say about half of them, two to three of them, he did not play well. And I against the Buccaneers, I thought he played fine, but you got to be able to score more off three Tom Brady turnovers in the second half. You can't just come up with 7 points when you get that type of opportunity. So yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is under the most pressure. He's got the roster. He's playing his best football right now. It's about time he goes out and he wins a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, because they've been on a drought. They haven't won one in over a decade, and with all the QB talent that the Packers have had over the past 25 years, I think the Aaron Rodgers owes it to Green Bay to win a championship this year, 100%. I just don't think there's a better opportunity. If he doesn't win it, Aaron Rodgers can probably be considered unclutch. I don't believe that, but of course, and with everything that Aaron Rodgers put the NFL media through, I think this really all comes down to him. So, yep, I'd say top five players going with the most pressure going into the playoffs: Mac Jones, Cliff Kingsbury, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. We're gonna take a quick break, and I'm gonna look at the spreads of this weekend of all the games and say which numbers I like and which numbers I don't like. All right, so I can't really come up with a parlay for you guys, but I'm gonna pull up the spreads, and there's some interesting games this weekend, 100%, but man, These games are really hard to come down to. NFL wild card weekend spreads. Okay. Sorry, just pulling it up. So, I think the games, first off, the games I'm most excited for, Patriots Bills, I'd say, is the one I'm most excited for. That's a Saturday night game. It's just going to be a classic AFC East battle, and being a Mac Jones fan, I'm really excited to see what he can do. 49ers, Cowboys, Cardinals, Rams, I'd say those are my three. Raiders, Bengals could be interesting. I think that has the potential to be the best one, just because of if it can be really be an offensive power game, and a lot of points can be scored, but it also could be a blowout for the Bengals' favor. It's in Cincinnati, and that Raiders secondary is awful. And going up against the best, according to statistics, the best deep ball thrower in the NFL right now, Joe Burrow, could get ugly. But yeah, let's look at some of these spreads. So, Raiders, Bengals, Cincinnati -6. Again, I think this game could be really close. Neither defense is very good, and Derek Carr, I think, can pick apart the Bengals secondary just as Joe Burrow can pick apart the Raiders secondary. But, man, the way Joe Burrow's been playing the past couple weeks, and just another terrible secondary. I just don't think Derek Carr will be able to keep up with Joe Burrow. So I like the Bengals in this game, but that spread's just a little high. I think that the Raiders, I think, are get the backdoor cover in there. 6 points is a lot of points, and I think these are two evenly matched teams. But I like Joe Burrow to handle the Raiders secondary better than Derek Carr can handle the Bengals secondary. So I like the Bengals to win, but give me the Raiders to cover the spread. And the game I'm most excited for, Patriots, Bills. Bills favored by 4 points. Man, ugh. To me, I look at the two mismatches in this game. Bill Belichick against Sean McDermott is a coaching mismatch, but Mac Jones in his first playoff game against Josh Allen is a quarterback mismatch. But I think the mismatch with Bill Belichick and Sean McDermott and how well Bill Belichick has been able to do against Josh Allen, I'm not including the last time that they played, but throughout Josh Allen's career, Bill Belichick has always kind of had his way with him. And the Patriots defense, while the last time they played against Josh Allen really, really screwed up, I like Bill Belichick's ability to adjust and to keep Josh Allen in the pocket and keep him from extending plays. And I actually think the Patriots win this one outright. I think Mac Jones is able to play an efficient ball game. Probably doesn't blow you away statistics wise, but he'll be able to manage this game, and they'll be and the Patriots, I think will be able to keep Josh Allen off the field and dominate time of possession and win this game on the run with the running attack and Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. So actually, give me Patriots to cover that spread. Not only cover it, I think they win. Eagles Buccaneers. Now this is my boldest play of the weekend. Give me the Eagles to cover the spread. I think people are kind of overestimating the Buccaneers right now. Do people not realize how banged up the Buccaneers are still? The thing that they had going for them the entire season was that passing attack. I don't trust Tom Brady. And I know it sounds weird, but I don't trust Tom Brady to have the same passing attack they had in the middle of the season with just Mike Evans this weekend. I just don't see a way it happens. This Eagles team is hungry. This Eagles team is. They know they're the underdogs. They know they can give Tom Brady troubles. In the Thursday night game in the middle of the season, they only lost by, I think the score was 28-22. That was a different Buccaneers team. That was a Buccaneers team that was a lot more healthy on the offensive side. And going into this game, no Chris Godwin, no playoff Lenny, no Antonio Brown. I just think this is a trap game. We saw a Washington football team last year give Tom Brady and the Bucks fits when you have just a really dynamic quarterback. And Jalen Hurts is better than Taylor Heineke. Jalen Hurts has had a great season. And I think Jalen Hurts wants to prove to the Eagles that he is the guy, that he can be their guy for their team. And yeah, I think a Jalen Hurts type player is what can give the Buccaneers trouble. Taylor Heineke did last year. So why not Jalen Hurts? So yeah, I think Eagles going up against a Buccaneers, banged up Buccaneers offensive side of the ball, I think they can cover the spread. They aren't going to win. I should have noted that. I don't think Tom Brady will allow the Buccaneers to lose this game. But 8.5 points is too many points for a game that was 6 points. For a game that was a 6 point deficit for the Eagles in the middle of the season, and the Buccaneers are a banged up team. So I like the Eagles to cover the spread, Buccaneers to win. 49ers at Cowboys. I've been going back and forth with this one. The 49ers, I feel like this is a trap. The 49ers, I feel like every single person you ask that's not a Cowboys fan says the 49ers are winning this game. Now, we could go on and on about how the 49ers can win that game. I mean, they got there's such a balanced rushing attack with Elijah Mitchell and Jeff Wilson, and then you add in Deebo Samuel into the backfield, one of the most versatile players in the NFL, and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and a great old line. Trent Williams is back. I mean, they want me to bet 49ers, but I'm going to go Cowboys. This Cowboys team is so absurdly talented. People don't realize this Cowboys team can ball on offense. They got so many pieces that can win you games. They can win at the running attack. They can win it with a balanced running game with Tony Pollard and Zeke. Then they got a great O-line. Dak can really kill you through the air. Now, he's been inconsistent this year, but the past two games have been really big confidence games. I think the last game against the Eagles, where Dak broke the franchise record for touchdowns, I think that was a real confidence game for Dak. It was obviously against the Eagles practice squad, but I think there was a reason that Dak played that whole game. I think they really wanted to get him a lot of confidence going into the playoffs. He's got his receivers. He's got Dalton Schultz. They have a talented opportunistic turnover defense that has a great matchup against a quarterback that can be turnover prone. I just think this will be a game where Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't show up. I think this is a game where I think they do a decent job. The Cowboys do a decent job at stopping the run, and Jimmy Garoppolo makes a couple backbreaking picks, and the Cowboys take advantage of those picks. So, yeah, I do like the Cowboys here to beat the 49ers. Now, the spread, I think it'll be a very close game. I like Dallas to cover the spread, -3. But, listen, I think this is a trap game. I think people are way too high on the 49ers, and the Cowboys realize they're being doubted. All right. Steelers-Chiefs, I don't really want to go into this one that much. I think there's potential for a cover for the Steelers. Obviously, they're all playing with house money. They know they shouldn't be here. Even Big Ben literally said they shouldn't be here, and that they're the worst team in the playoffs. They love playing the underdog, but the Chiefs are just too talented. And I'd probably say the Chiefs cover the spread. It's -12.5. The Chiefs win by 2 scores, I'd say. But do not be surprised if the Steelers cover this spread. They will not win, but I would not be shocked if through 3 quarters, this game is relatively close. It won't. I don't know. It could easily get ugly, but I would not be shocked if this game is somewhat close. All right, Cardinals Rams on Monday night. Well, well, well. This is a tough one. I think the Cardinals, you know, they're coming off a loss where you're just like a head scratcher loss. Like, how can you lose that game? The Cardinals going into the game against the Seahawks were a team that, you know, was wanting to win the division, and they were in a position to win the division as the Rams lost to the 49ers, and they still couldn't win. They couldn't beat the Seahawks. Like, how is that even, like, how do you let that happen? But it happened, and the Cardinals are coming off a bad loss. The Rams also coming off a bad loss that, you know, got the 49ers into the playoffs. I don't really know who to go with here, but I like the Rams here. I think -4 is a good number, and I like the Rams to cover that. I think the Rams have too much talent. They have way too much talent. Odell and Cooper Kupp, and with Cam Akers coming back, that adds just a more steam to that Rams locker room. I like the 49ers. I like the Rams' offensive talent, and I think Stafford, you know, we'll have a fine game. Don't know how many picks he'll throw. Maybe he'll throw a couple. Not sure, but I don't think the Cardinals, I don't think their offense has looked nearly as well with DeAndre Hopkins than without him. And, yeah, I like the Rams to win this game. don't really have much to say there. The Cardinals just haven't played good football in a month. And the Rams have been on and off, but I think they'll be on this game in LA in SoFi. So give me the Rams to cover that spread. So final picks, Cincinnati to cover the Cincinnati, I believe will I the Raiders, I believe, will cover the spread against Cincinnati, but the Bengals win. The Patriots win outright against the Bills. The Eagles cover the spread against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers win. 49ers, no, Cowboys cover the spread and beat the 49ers. Chiefs cover the spread and beat the Steelers, but I wouldn't be shocked if the game is somewhat close. And the Rams cover the spread and beat the Cardinals. So that's what we got here today. I have an interview with Brady Corso next. I got to go to practice, but after that, we will have an interview with Brady Corso for you. He has been playing lights out lately in the past, since basically in the past 3 weeks. He's been shooting the ball a lot better than he did in the beginning of the season, and I thought that warranted a he's shooting the I think he believes he's shooting 47% from three this year, and after such a slow start, that's very impressive. So Brady Corso will be on next. And yep, there we go. All right, so sophomore sharpshooter Brady Corso. Brady, how you doing tonight?
Good, how are you?
Right, so I'm gonna just ask you a few questions. The first one, so you're a young sophomore on this team. It's obviously this varsity level is a lot different than JV. As a young sophomore, did it take you a bit to, get used to the flow of the game and how fast it was?
It was kind of a different, like you had to adapt from going from the speed of JV basketball to varsity. It's a lot quicker, you got to be able to make quicker decisions, be able to get your jumper off faster. So it was a good experience, like transitioning over. So
Oh yeah. So you started out slow. First couple games, your shooting touch wasn't you weren't shooting as well as you have been the past five six games. Did you change anything to get yourself out of the slump?
no, I really just had to get used to the flow of the game and the transitioning over, like I said, to this faster speed and pace of the game, and really just adapting to being able to get my feet set and shot off earlier and being able to just do all that a little bit faster than in past years.
Oh yeah, I mean, because everyone has their slumps, and you got yours. Yours came pretty early, but now you've become such a valuable player for us. And these open threes, and when you're playing FBA basketball, you need as many of those as you can.
Yeah,
So,
and
yeah.
like Kevin, I wouldn't be able to do get my shot off and get open opportunities without like Ice and Eli and JJ and Carter and everybody else just creating and being able to find me on the floor and all of us working together and really just making a really good starting five and then our bench coming off and we all just work really well together as a team. The
Oh
chemistry
yeah,
is really good.
you guys definitely play good team basketball. So, you let's be honest. You talk a lot of shit. What makes you want to talk? What makes you want to talk shit after just like every shot you make? And I tr trust me, I love it.
You
But
know,
like, how's that mindset for you?
I feel like most of the guys on our team do it, and for me, it kind of gets me going a little bit. It kind of gets my confidence going. It gets kind of gets the atmosphere, like having the crowd getting into it, and kind of just gets my game. It gets me started, and kind of just gets me like a little boost to be like, I'm here. Like, I
Yeah.
can do this too.
Yeah, I get it. Big game against Appleton East tomorrow. It's the third ranked team in Division One versus the second. You guys, your one loss this year was to Appleton East. So, in my opinion, I think you guys are playing some amazing basketball lately. You just came off a big win against Pewaukee, Middleton, Fond du Lac, you absolutely destroyed them. So, my thing is, as a fan, I hate Appleton East. I hate some players on the team. I hate some parents on the team. Is anything less than pure domination an option? I want you guys to absolutely smoke them.
I think we really gotta show what we can do. Like, this is kind of like in a revenge game for us because early in, I mean, coming into this, we knew our team was a really talented team this year, and being shocked by that early loss kind of like really just showed where like that we have to like come back to reality and be like, okay, we have to work every day and and just be day by day, just make getting a little bit better. And really, I think this game tomorrow is kind of like a really big game for us. Like, if we come and hopefully we come out on top, and that would be really big.
So one more question here. You're a sophomore. You still got plenty of years left. You got two more years left of Rocket Basketball. In those next couple of years, is there anything you really want to work on and focus on to better yourself as a player?
You know, I really want to work on just playing the whole game, like not only being able to score and like create for my teammates, but being able to defend and rebound and create and like just being able to do the whole game and make an impact on both sides of the floor.
Yeah, so you really just being a more well-rounded basketball player.
Yeah.
Being able to
just do it all, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree more. So actually I do have one more question I thought of. So you're going up against LaChapelle tomorrow. He's a guy that had a great game against us the first time around. You two are two of the best sophomores in the FEA. What can you say about Joey as a player, and how do you guys think you're going to be able to neutralize him?
You know, Joey is – he's really, really good. Like, I've been at basketball camps with him. I've been on his team at basketball camps, and the things that he can do is just amazing. Like, I think on the season right now, he's shooting it like 55% from three. Like, he's doing his part over there at Appleton East. He's creating, he's playing defense. He's just really doing it all. And he's really showing that he's a top player in the 2024 class. And I think personally that he could be a Division I basketball player. I think he's really good.
All right. High praise from Brady Corso. All right, Brady, I think we're good. Good job, man. Play your best game, hit your shots, and we'll come out on top.
All right. Thank you for having me on, Bruce.
Yep, no problem. All right. Very solid interview there with Brady. Going into the game tomorrow, I really think that it just comes down to closing out on threes and basically just getting our rebounds and playing the game that we've been playing for the past couple weeks or so. I really think that tomorrow I think we're the better team than A East. I think with the wins over Pewaukee and Middleton, I think we've really established ourselves as one of the best teams, maybe the best team in the state. And obviously that game against AEs, they shot, 65% from three. They did just about everything you need from an FEA basketball team, and they came out on top. And it didn't. If you look at the stats and, you know, how well every single player in AEs shot, I would, if you showed me that before the game, I would have said, yeah, we're losing this game. But I think the way Chevalier is playing, the way J.J. Piter has been playing, and CT has really been improving throughout the season. He's getting back to his form. And the way Brady's been playing, Brady is coming off a game against Old North in which he shot 5 for 5 from three. So, and a stellar shooting performance against Fond du Lac. So I think when you, and on top of that, our whole starting five, they're on double figures. It's just really impressive stuff. And I think this whole team, I think the way they're playing, I think we should be able to come out with a win against A East and A East. Now it's going to be packed house for the boys, but I know they'll come out on top. So that should be it for the juice. We will be back on Tuesday. I will go over all the wild card games. I'll watch every single one of them, give my analysis, and then that week will be on to Packers divisional round. So everyone, you have a great weekend. Watch football. Y-ball on Saturday. It'll be in the North Gym at noon. The catastrophic floods, my team, will be going against this Hortonville team that will be losing. Cool. That should be it for today, and I'll see you guys next Tuesday. Chance, take us out.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Geno, Tatum's on. Foolie's glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my